It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our guest is Sydney Abbott. Sydney is head of risk management and director of beef cattle research with OT Feed Yard and Research Center. We'll talk with Sydney Abbott in just a moment. First off, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins attending Farm Progress in Boone, Iowa.
Last year, we were directed by President Trump under an executive order to have every federal agency rethink the entire design of public-facing services and to build tools that are simple, that are modern, that are secure, and that are centered on our human needs, and specifically with us, our farmers' needs. It's a call for government technology that feels as intuitive and trustworthy as the best digital experience that you use every day outside of your interface with USDA.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our guest today is Sydney Abbott. Sydney is head of risk management, director of beef cattle research, OT Feed Yard, and Research Center in Amarillo. Sydney, welcome to the show.
Hi, great to be here today.
Hey, for those who don't know Sydney, let's get kind of the quick recap of where you grew up. Was it in ag, and how'd you end up in Amarillo today?
Yes, I grew up in a small ag community in Belen, New Mexico. Some alfalfa and hay production, and then I moved to Amarillo to pursue a career within the ag sector and met my husband, got married, started farming with him, and we have two small children.
Wow. Now tell us a little bit about OT Feed Yard and what you're doing there. What's the elevator speech?
Yes, we're a 25,000 head one-time capacity commercial feedlot. My role as director of research is to test products from everything from feed to pharmaceuticals that will then be entered into the beef cattle space. So we're really up to date on tech and new endeavors within the industry.
You know, there's been a lot of interest in the ag space, but especially in the cattle business, the beef industry, on the heels of a couple of things, but I think probably the biggest one came recently when the president sent out on social media that we would have 300,000 metric tons of beef or ground beef coming in over the next 90 days, and it would be available at 25% less. And I'm guessing that 25% less would be the retail side. But how has the industry reacted to that? Do you have any thoughts?
Yes, cattle futures have fallen dramatically as a result of these headlines. That is coming on the heels of the Tyson announcements that they are reducing their kill capacities. So all of these things are in an attempt to shorten the demand, you know, for our already tight supply. So I'm hoping that these are just headlines and we'll see some rebound in the futures and the cash markets soon to come.
We're talking with Sydney Abbott with OT Feed Yard and Research Center. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express water wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express water wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express water wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest, Sydney Abbott, head of risk management, director of beef cattle research, OT Feed Yard and Research Center in Amarillo. There's a huge opportunity to tell this story to those who are outside of the industry. And when we talk about how we end up with ground beef here in the U.S., we try to get it to a percentage, a 73. There's, and I'm going to mess them up. I'm 80. There's 90. And I don't know what comes after that. But the idea is we have to blend lean trimmings in with our trimmings to get to those levels. What are some of the, I guess, most misunderstood points when it comes to beef and things like ground?
So the first thing that all consumers should know is that even imported beef, the USDA inspects these rigorously. Any beef in the country is safe to eat. I eat it and I feed it to my family, whether it's produced by my neighbor who's a cattleman or it came from Sam's Club or Walmart. It is safe to eat. In the United States, we have genetics that typically support more of a choice or premium cut. So that's going to be your really marbled ribeyes. That's the type of cattle and genetics that we strive to produce for our consumers. And other countries have leaner beef. Their genetics support a naturally leaner animal. And so that's where we can take some of the fat content out of our hamburger meat to get those blends that have become really popular on the heels of, you know, recent protein intake recommendations.
Well, and again, it just underscores how well the industry has done at producing a product that consumers want, both on the cut side. You mentioned, the steak side, like ribeyes. I'm going for a ribeye every time, and I'm not going for a select. I'm going choice or better every time. But when it comes to hamburger and that ground beef, we've built such a great demand there. We are dealing, though, with a very tight herd. From a feeder perspective, there's a lot of risk, especially right now. Tell me more about that.
Yes, as an industry as a whole, whether you are on the feeder side or the live cattle market, this is an extremely volatile market. We came from one of the most profitable points in the cattle market history to now dropping, you know, over $30 a hundred. So to put that in perspective to the consumer, that can mean between $600 and $800 a head difference. As cattlemen, we strive to break even, not necessarily even focus on profit. So it's tough. We are also facing a tremendous drought that makes it really difficult to rebuild our herd. And feed prices are increasing as cattle decrease. So we are in a very vulnerable and volatile position.
One area that has been really interesting to me is the disconnect we've had between cash trade and the futures market, the live cattle or fat cattle market. That front month, for example, the August contract, as it's nearing expiration, has been trading quite a bit lower than cash trade. In many instances, $15 higher for cash than we see on the futures market. And it's led some to wonder, is cash able to pull the futures up, or is it the futures pulling the cash down? Are the fundamentals any different? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes. Futures and cash have been telling us two different stories for some time now. I believe it wasn't even 8 weeks ago. I had done a report to show my break-evens juxtaposed against where the current futures were at. and where cash was trading. At the time, it was at 260, and I think there was a $15 spread between the two. So on a per head basis, it was pretty significant, especially across, you know, the volume of risk that I have to mitigate. Futures are reacting to three pretty major headlines, in addition to Tyson closures. I think the Tyson closure and beef packers are gaining leverage. However, a lot of this, in my opinion, is just kind of speculative. And I think we're going to see the futures stop pulling the cash down, and we're going to see that gap lessen a little bit, and hopefully in the favor of the cattlemen.
No doubt. You mentioned it. You mentioned it a couple of times. You know, Tyson closing some plants. We're, what, 14 years ago. One of the big ones that in recent memory was that one south of you in Plainview when Cargill shut that plant down. For some of the same similar reasons, just a tight supply, drought. But as we start looking down the road, obviously you've got to have cattle to put in the pens to feed. You don't make money with an empty pen. Have you been able to fill pens with like beef on dairy?
Yes. So, as the Mexican border closed, we had to reevaluate our strategy like many other cattle feeders in the Texas panhandle, and we started procuring beef on dairy cattle. What we found is that they are extremely predictable, easy to project, and they are very healthy. So they really kind of took the place of that Mexican that we could, you know, guarantee a 4% or less death loss in. And we've replaced them now with beef on dairy that are really scoring choice or better. So we're creating a product that I think the American consumer will enjoy.
And I guess at the end of the day, that's keeping feedlots open. We're talking with Sydney Abbott with OT Feed Yard and Research Center in Amarillo. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Sydney Abbott, Head of Risk Management, Director of Beef Cattle Research, OT Feed Yard and Research Center. All right, final thoughts. What else do we need to know?
Yes, I think in the wake of all of this bad news, the futures market does look grim. However, I think a lot of this is with headlines. There's a huge correlation here with the bad news and the headlines, and the facts are the facts. We are still short on cattle, and while the packers may have gained some temporary leverage with their deferred contracts, I think we are going to see a rebound. I am confident of that.
Sydney, it's great to visit with you. If somebody wants to keep up with the work that you're doing through OT Feed Yard and Research Center, can we find you online?
Yes, we have a website that you can contact me directly, call the feedlot. I'm always available, and you can also follow me on LinkedIn.
All right. Sydney Abbott is head of risk management, director of beef cattle research at OT Feed Yard and Research Center. I'm Tony St. James, and this is the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins from Farm Progress.
In the 1980s, those four controlled about 25% of our packing or processing. Today, it is 85%. And two of those are not even owned by U.S. companies. Two of those are foreign companies. The previous administration and others before could have stepped in to help, but instead, as I mentioned, waging a war on a lot of our ranchers, especially out west, on pulling up grazing land, on requiring a climate reduction reporting that was potentially coming, on using the waters of the USA to take over almost 97% of where we graze our cattle. We are putting protein, we're putting beef right back at the center of policymaking in Washington, D.C. With our product of the USA, we're now in 50 different states. We'll have more announcements on labeling and some other things by the end of this week with President Trump, but there is so much we could do.
It's the Agribusiness Report.